Welcome to Steppin' Out, a reality radio show where you'll hear real people sharing their true stories of what it was like to go over the edge and find their way back. And now, Steppin' Out.
Welcome to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Denise McEntee, your host, where every week, as some of you know, and if you're just joining us, we feature true stories of people that have overcome all sorts of adversity in their lives. But the good news is they've triumphed and come out on the other side. And today, I'm really excited to have actor Jeff Wincott with us. He has an incredible story of something that he overcame. And Jeff has appeared in 30 movies, 150 appearances on TV, and the lead in the award-winning TV series Night Heat. Currently, he can be seen in Netflix series The Lizzie Borden Chronicles, and this summer as Detective Lucas in the HBO miniseries The Night Of, starring John Turturro. But he's here to tell his story of what he overcame. And because of what he overcame, I'm going to let you talk about it, Jeff. So, Jeff, welcome to Steppin' Out Radio.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And I'm going to let you, but I'm going to ask you to promote a documentary that you did, just so people can hear it. I'd like, the website to be given out now. So get a pen, everybody, and write it down, and we'll be giving it out through the show. But go ahead.
Okay. So it's a short film. It's 14 minutes long, mm-hmm. and it's called Behind Bars. Mm-hmm. And I wrote it, produced it, star in it, and it was my first directorial debut. And it is now available to watch on my website, which is jeffwincott.com.
Wincott. And there's something else you're working on too, Jeff. You want to talk about that while we have the audience listening?
Changing? Yes.
Yeah.
At the moment, my wife, who is also sober, we met in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. She is a screenwriter, and she is now writing a feature film called Changing Charlie that I will be directing. So that'll be my first directorial debut feature film. That is crowdfunding right now on Indiegogo.com, Changing Charlie.
So check that out. So I wanted to make sure we got that out. But Jeff does have an incredible story. He's an incredibly, successful person, which usually is the case for many of our storytellers. But usually, Jeff, we begin at the beginning on this show. So what was your beginning, like your childhood years like?
Grew up in Toronto, Canada. I was the middle kid. My dad is an alcoholic, mm-hmm. as I discovered that I was, although mm-hmm. I was very hesitant about saying those words. Mm-hmm. My mother was an immigrant from Italy. We were basically a blue-collar family growing up. I didn't start drinking alcohol until I went on a trip with my mother to Italy to visit relatives there. And each time I visited a farmhouse, they'd give me a little bit of wine.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I was drunk and I threw up and vowed I'd never do that again. But the next day I was at a few more farmhouses drinking a little bit more red wine and throwing up the next night as well.
And what age were you at this?
I was 13.
Okay. So now you said your dad was an alcoholic. Would he agree with that? Like, did he ever?
Oh yes.
Get sober, or
he never did. I took him to a meeting once.
Okay.
And said, Dad, why don't you identify?
Mm-hmm.
Tell him that you're a beginner, newcomer, and he proceeded to stand up and say his name and declared that he had 20 years under his belt, which was completely false. I mean, he drank the night before,
okay.
but. Typical alcoholic.
Okay. So he kind of knew it. Everybody else knew it, but he wasn't ready or for whatever reason.
Right. And he never really ended up getting sober and having, this wonderful program behind him.
So the years went on. You were in Italy drinking, but that could be something anybody could do. How did it progress for you? Like, what were your grade school years like, middle school, high school?
I was a periodic, drunk. I would drink on the weekends. I was athletic. I got involved in a lot of sports, excelled at sports extremely well, mm-hmm. And did it, you know, in taekwondo and swimming and wrestling and all the rest of it. It's funny because I ended up doing a TV series, Night Heat, mm-hmm. and they asked me to be part of the anti-drug commercial, campaign, which I said sure, because at the time I wasn't doing drugs and I was totally opposed to all of that. Mm-hmm. I dabbled in it when I was 15 at some rock concert, you know, a little acid, a little, you know, hash and grass, but stopped the year after that and got heavily involved in sports. So fast forward. I wasn't doing it. And so, yes, I did these campaigns. And then I reached the ripe old age of 41. And something had occurred in my life that was pretty traumatic. And for some reason, someone offered me some cocaine. And I said, okay, let me try some of that stuff. And mm-hmm. I did. And I was off to the races.
Really? So yeah. Cocaine is what really, as they say on the show every week, we say something usually brought somebody to their knees, and that's what happened to you.
Yeah, it actually brought me to Mount Sinai in Los Angeles. I ended up overdosing in my car on a dead end street up there off of Sunset Boulevard. Two guys found me, and the only reason why they found me was because my head was hitting the horn of my car as I was overdosing, and they discovered me in the car and called 911, and that was my little miracle right there.
So when you overdose on cocaine, for those of you who are out there and think, oh, you can't really overdose on that, what happens? Your heart races you.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it was a mixture of cocaine, GHB, alcohol. I had quite a few things in me that evening.
So it was okay. Yeah. But I'm going to just back up a little bit. Through the years from when you got out of high school, you were very successful in sports or whatever. Between 20 to 40, were you managing your drinking? Or did anybody ever say, you know, Jeff, you drink a little more than the rest of us kind of thing? Or
I always had a crazy spirit. Mm-hmm. Regardless of any alcohol being ingested. So a lot of people thought I was just, you know, on speed or something at all times anyway, because mm-hmm. that's just the way I was. I had a lot of energy. So, but no, I wasn't managing it. I don't feel like, you know, I did go through, there was times where I kind of started with, you know, rum and Coke and found that I was puking a little too much on that. Mm-hmm. So then I switched over to beer, and then I found I put on too much weight. So I stopped drinking the beer and then went to red wine, and you know, so I did kind of, you know, change one for the other, but all in all, I never really thought at that time I had a problem.
And had it caused you a problem? Like, did anybody at work say, hey, you know?
Well, there came a point, as with everyone, you get to your bottom. And, you know, I happened to be on set filming one day, mm-hmm. and I couldn't remember my lines anymore. And I'd been partying for a good day and a half. I hadn't slept. And it was a big scene. I had a monologue. And they pulled me aside and took me outside to give me some fresh air because I was sweating and I was dizzy. And they ended up redoing that scene another day and cost them a lot of money. And my agent had a conversation with me.
Okay. You're listening to Steppin' Out Radio, true stories of, well, often addiction but recovery. That's the good news. We're talking to actor Jeff Wincott, who has appeared in too many movies and TV shows to mention. But he has also written and, well, I don't know if you wrote it. Did you write Behind Bars?
I did.
Okay, so how cool is that? Wrote a really cool documentary about addiction. It's only 13 minutes, so check it out. It's Behind Bars, and you can find it. Go to Jeff's website, jeffwincott.com. Go to it will take you to the YouTube where you can definitely see it. I urge you to see it. It's quite interesting, and
yeah, it's got
me,
over 1,300 views right now,
which is really awesome. And if you want to sign up for our free newsletter, you can to hear more stories like this. Go to steppingoutradio.com. So what happened? You forgot your lines in the movie. Then somebody introduced you to Coke. So up until 42, I'm sure other people maybe offered you Coke, but you said no. What do you think made you say that day, okay?
I think I was going through a really hard time, and I wanted to escape the problem. And alcohol just wasn't enough, and I wanted to add to that. And at the time, like I say, I was a member of the cigar club, and these guys were there, and they had some cocaine. And I found, you know, through the cocaine that I could drink more, which was great for me. And so I found, you know, it was amazing. You know, cocaine was amazing because I really did forget about everything. I got into this other world and I loved it. It was wonderful to forget about everything.
And did you start doing it almost every day? Or
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was off to the races. I was an addict right from the get-go.
So then that dreadful day where you got in the car accident and your head was hitting the horn, thank God. What happened next?
So my brother, it wasn't actually a car accident. I was just in the car.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
And my head was kept hitting. I ended up, ambulance came. They took me into Mount Sinai. My brother, who was my Eskimo, who had been in the program, was also sober. And he was there at the foot of my bed with another member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they whisked me away to a rehab in Arizona. I only stayed there about 7 days. And
did you check yourself out?
I didn't check myself out. I got into an altercation, a physical altercation with one of the counselors.
Okay.
And so they kicked me out. They gave me 1 hour to leave the premises. And so there I was back out and doing my thing again. I had a lot of money, a lot of time. I wasn't done.
Right. Okay.
And so I kept on going.
Now, being you were an actor, did that scare you that it would get out or not really?
No. I mean, one of the I think one of the amazing things we do as alcoholics and addicts is we're good at hiding and lying and cheating and deceiving, and our secrets are incredible. And we work real hard on those things, and we're real good at it.
Right.
You know, you'll never find my stash.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll never find it.
So
yeah.
After you got kicked out of rehab, I'm sure your brother was pretty devastated, right?
He was devastated, and he was really scared and worried because, you know, I'd almost died.
Of course,
and,
yeah.
It was inevitable what's going to happen next.
Right. And what did happen next?
So what happened next was, you know, I had a run for a while and then ended up going back into another rehab called Cry Help in North Hollywood. And I was there for 28 days, came out. I didn't really believe I was an alcoholic. I believed I was an addict. I knew I had a problem with drugs. So I was sober for 13 months.
Wow.
I got a sponsor. I started working the steps. I went to meetings every day. You know, I was being of service, doing service commitments. And then it was New Year's. And I decided that I wanted to have some vodka because I didn't have a problem with alcohol.
It was the Coke, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So I got a bottle of vodka and I started drinking that bottle of vodka. And right away, I started calling people to get some Coke. It was on.
Oh, wow.
So for another 5 months, I was out there. And then it ended with being with someone who went into a cardiac arrest and for some reason came back around. And that was May 8th. And May 9th, I've been sober 2002, almost coming up on 14 years now.
Wow. That's amazing. And it's coming up. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So when you saw that friend or whatever, you saw a glimpse into what your future was, right?
I did. So it's interesting because I look back on things, and that's what we do. More shall be revealed when we look back on things. Me dying doesn't faze me, but looking at someone else dying somehow struck me.
That was funny because we just had Bobby Rydell on, and he said the same thing. His doctor said, you know, if you don't stop, you have 2 years to live. And he said, all right, well, 2 years is pretty good. You know, he goes, I didn't care for myself, but it was, you know, other things that made him care. So what was your life? So that was like a huge difference. So when you went in the second time, did you go to Cocaine Anonymous meetings or you stuck with the...
I went into NA meetings and then ended up in AA meetings.
So that was what worked for you.
Yeah.
And what what happened next? So you just kept working the program.
So you worked the steps, which is really important, especially steps 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Because the first step is I'm powerless over alcohol.
Right.
And my life is unmanageable. I get that part.
Right.
That's the only first half of the first step is the one I have to really work the most.
Right.
The second step is, you know, I've got to turn, you know, I can't do this. Someone else has to.
Right.
Someone else has the power because I'm powerless.
Right.
And the third step is he can. So let him.
Right.
And so that's 1, 2, and 3. I can't, he can, let him.
Did you have a spirituality before this?
No, never.
So that's interesting.
I was
for
agnostic.
The audience to hear.
I was on the major debate team for, you know, there is no God, there is no higher power, there is no nothing.
Okay.
You
so
know,
that's
all me. That's it. I'm the guy.
That's so critical for people out there listening. So you don't have to, that's what we try to impart too. You don't have to believe in God. You don't have to, you can even not believe in God, but you believe in the higher power.
Right. So it started for me on a very simple way. I was in rehab and some guy said to me, you know, can you get on your knees and can you say, you know, thank you, God, for a great day? I said, yeah, I can do that. And he goes, well, just why don't you just do that? So I did. He said, how was that? I go, that's okay. It's good. That was my first formal prayer.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how it started. And today, you know, I wake up in the morning and I say the third step prayer. That's what I do in the morning.
And what is the third step prayer for those who don't know?
God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me, to do with me as thou wilt. Mm-hmm. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. Of thy power, thy love, and the way of life, may I do thy will always.
Wow. That's a big step from
not
just get right.
Exactly. So then so I you know, I had this spirituality. I had this thing. It wasn't a white light experience for me. It was a, you know, I was part of the educational variety. It took time, but it, you know, over time, you know, it grew. And then you do steps 4 and 5. 4 is, you know, I have to sit down and I have to write about my resentments and my, you know, my sexual, you know, history. And, you know, that's a big part of it because I noticed that I had a lot of resentments. I had a lot of anger. And there's that last, you know, column in there, which is what's my part in things. And that was the first white light that went off. You know, that was the light bulb that went off. Oh, really? I have a part in these things?
Right.
And so, you know, to be able to tell all that stuff to someone else, which was my sponsor at the time, and to have this stuff lifted from me was an amazing thing. I mean, it really was.
Now, does the lifting, and I'm just, this is great, by the way, because oftentimes we don't get so into this.
Okay.
Is the lifting happen, Jeff, because you revealed it to another person,
yes.
Do you think?
Yes.
Or just the fact that you wrote it and it's clear and
it's both those things.
Okay.
It's writing it, but it's also
saying. Were you surprised at your resentments? Like when you really?
Yeah, because I think I suppressed a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, and with drugs and alcohol, even more so. You cover.
Right.
Everything. And they never deal with it. So you get to that point where you can, you know, discover, discard, and, you know, and move on, you know, which is great. And it was a lifting of all these things that I carried around with me for many, many years.
So you got rid of that.
Yeah.
And how else did you work the steps?
So then you do 6, 7, and 8. I mean, you do 6 and 7, which is humbly asked that you may remove my shortcomings, my character defects on a daily basis. They're never going to completely go. I mean, I'm always going to have, you know, a certain amount of rage, a certain amount of anger. You know, I'm not going to be impatient. Those things are going to happen. But each day I ask to be relieved of those things.
Great.
Then you do steps 8 and 9.
Okay. And we're going to talk about steps 8 and 9 when we're back. You're listening to Steppin' Out Radio. I'm Denise McIntyre, your host, and we're talking to actor Jeff Wincott. You were telling us about the other steps that you went through. We'll just do that briefly and then we'll talk about what you're doing today.
Right. So then you get to step 8. Step 8 is, you know, I write down, you know, all the harm that I've caused other people that I have to make amends to. So you write that list down. And step 9 is making amends to these people. And that's a hard one. It's a tough one. It's, you know, it's a swallowing of the pride and the ego. But again, you know, bridges need to be built again.
Right.
A lot of things have been destroyed.
Right.
Because I'm like a tornado going through.
Right.
And not worrying about how anybody else is feeling or what who I've hurt.
And when you went to the people, were they receptive to it? I would think and hope.
For the most part, I would say 98% yes.
So
some were
good.
Just like, thanks, and then hung up the phone or, you know, whatever. But for the most part, yes.
That's
very
great.
Much so.
That's good for people to know.
So and, you know, there are people that I made amends to that will never, ever hire me again. regardless of making the amends to them. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And there are other people that, you know, hired me, you know, and things have moved on from there. But it's life.
Right.
It's okay. It's about me clearing my side of the street.
It's a great way to put it. So then the last couple of steps, if you can wrap up.
Ten is, you know, restrain of pen and tongue. Mm-hmm. And when I make a mistake or I do something wrong, promptly admit it.
Right.
Just say it right away. Hey, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't mean to do that, and I won't do that again. And step 11 is, you know, is prayer and meditation, trying to, you know, pray and meditate as much as you possibly can to, mm-hmm. to achieve a closer, you know, closeness to your higher power. And 12 is being of service, passing it back. So now that you've gotten this, you know, being able to help others, and you know, when somebody is hurting or somebody reaches their hand out to extend your hand and help them.
And that's exactly what you're doing now, and we thank you for coming on, because it, you know, takes a lot of guts when you're well known and famous to come on and reveal, you know, what's your innermost, you know, you're revealing here your fears and your deep character defects per se.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that my goal here today is to obviously, if I can help one person.
And you will, believe me.
That would be great.
We
just
have
one
the
person
emails
to let someone know that, you know, if you have a problem, just, you know, get to that place where you can say, I got a problem and please help me.
Right.
That's all. Just, I got a problem, please help me.
Right.
Reach out. And the other thing is, you know, I want to be able to say that, you know, this is, you know, this can happen to anybody. I don't care if you're black, white, yellow, purple. I don't care if you got a lot of money or no money. I don't care if you're a man or a woman. This can happen across the board to anybody. And my situation was progressive.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a problem with drugs for the longest time until I was 41.
Wow.
And at the age of 41, all of a sudden, a year later, I overdosed. So it's progressive.
Sure.
So when people say, I don't have a problem now, it's not to say that they're not going to have a problem later.
And that's what happened to Bobby Rydell. He was going along in life like you. And then when his wife passed away, next thing you know, He needs a new liver transplant and kidney, you know, and it didn't start happening until the 40s. So that's a good point. So what's your life like now? And tell us about, you know, these two cool projects you're working on that would be of interest to our listeners and how they can listen to it.
I think the greatest joy for me today is obviously, you know, trying to stay in the moment, and that I have two beautiful sons,
mm-hmm.
one of which I raised, you know, part of the time being, you know, high and drunk,
mm-hmm.
and another son who's 6 years old that has never seen me drunk or high.
Which is cool.
And, you know, I have that joy, and also that I'm married. I've mm-hmm. been married coming up on 13 years this June 21st.
Wow. Congratulations.
And, you know, relationships are a big part of, you know, life.
Right.
Whether you're sober or you're not sober, they're hard.
Yeah.
And they're easier when you're sober.
Right.
So I have these tools today.
Right.
If I decide I want to use them.
Right.
I have these tools.
And these tools could be for anybody, I always say. But.
Yeah. And, you know, it's given me the power to forgive,
mm-hmm.
which I never thought I could for a lot of different, you know, people and situations. And I have that power today to forgive. And because of that, I have these great relationships today.
Which is amazing. Your son's out there, too. He's adorable. But tell us about your Behind Bars, this film that you did.
So, you know, over the last 13 years of getting sober, it's been a continual thing of me, you know, climbing back out of this hole that I dug for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Myself. I
right.
take full responsibility for that. And over the years, you know, I've ended up now I have a TV series right now on Netflix with the Lizzie Borden Chronicles, starring Christina Ricci and Clea DuVall. We filmed that in Canada. I have a new miniseries coming out this summer called The Night Of with John Turturro. That was written and produced by Stephen Zalian, who wrote the Schindler's List, along with Richard Price. I have a film coming out called Bolden. It's about jazz. And I wrote and produced and directed my first short film. It was a goal I've always wanted to do all my life. I've produced films. I've acted in them, but I've never directed. And so I did this film. And to get accepted officially into three film festivals is a huge accomplishment for me. And so, you know, one day at a time, I'm achieving things that I never thought I could do.
And can you tell us a little bit about
Behind Bars?
Or? Yes, because
sure.
I think everybody should go to your website, and your website is www.jeffwincott.com. And tell us a little bit about what we could, you know.
Yes.
Give us a little tease about Behind Bars.
Okay. And also on that website, jeffwincott.com, you can see clips from Sons of Anarchy, which I had a recurring role in that as Jimmy Kakuza. You can see a recurring role that I have as, you know, Captain Mancuso in Blue Bloods, a lot of different things, and action films that I did, 14 martial arts action films in Hollywood as well, starring in those. But Behind Bars is about addiction. It's about a guy who has the world by its tail and loses everything because of his addiction to protein bars. So I use the analogy, you know, in a parody of a protein bar, you know, as opposed to any other thing. But still, you know, and then what happens is he gets clean. He gets this big break in this movie. He starts doing it, but he can't do it without, you know, his crutch, which is these protein bars. So he goes back off the wagon, back onto the protein bars, and then all hell breaks loose for this guy. And everything goes downhill. You know, the finances fall through with the film. He gets into a fight with a cop, and, you know, anyway, you have to see it to watch what happens in the end of the film. But so I just wanted to show, you know, in a black, you know, comedic way, you know, what happens with addiction and that there are consequences to that.
Right. And I think I'm urging you guys, because you'll really enjoy it, especially if you're in recovery or even if you're not in recovery. It's interesting. I get more emails from people that aren't in recovery about the show, that they never heard anything so real or so, you know, and it's hopeful to them. And tell us about Changing Charlie, the other film you're involved in.
So Changing Charlie, you know, Charlie is a guy who, you know, just, you know, he loves his bacon. That's what he likes to do. He likes to eat bacon. He likes his lasagna. He likes the simple things in life, you know, not too complicated. And he's happy doing that. And, you know, his next door neighbor, this girl, she moves in and she's a psychology major and she starts to analyze Charlie. And she thinks that she knows exactly what's wrong with Charlie and why he's not, you know, enjoying life enough. And so she tells him to go see a psychiatrist and, you know, and he should get medication for these things and he should fix the way he is and he should have, you know, bagels with lox on them. He should have bacon with a little ketchup on he should do things in his life, date people, you know, that kind of thing. So she tries to change Charlie. And so what you'll see in the film is, you know, Charlie changing. And, you know, is it good? Is it bad? Well, you know, that remains to be seen.
Right. So the premise is Charlie was okay the way he was, but somebody came along and had to change it, which happens to lots of people. Like, that sounds great. And how can if they want to learn more about that?
Changing Charlie right now is crowdfunding on Indiegogo.com. The name of the film is Changing Charlie. I am directing it, starring in it. My wife, Charlotte Wincott, is writing it. And you can go to that and you can donate money to help us, you know, in pre-production, production, post-production, and then release the film.
Right, which is a cool, you know, cool thing to get involved in, right? Lots of people always say they want to get involved in a movie, and this is a great way. And also, Behind Bars, like I said, I really urge you to see that because both of them are great. So thank you so much for being here. It took a lot of – I think it takes a lot of courage to come on and tell your story no matter who you are. So thank you. Your story has helped so many people. I want to give out your email address again. It's www.jeffwincott.com. And if you like what you hear, please sign up for our free newsletter. You're going to hear more stories from people like Bobby Rydell, like Jeff, from police officers, firemen. We talk to everybody. And that's the beauty of this show, because as Jeff said, it affects everybody. And in addition, we have stories from the friends and family who are affected by it, because there are support groups for them as well, because so often they don't know, you know, where to go for help and what to do. So check us out at steppingoutradio.com. Sign up for our free newsletter, and we'll all see you next time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.